You have your Bibles, I want you to turn, first of all, this morning to John chapter 10. I'm going to be sharing a few thoughts out of John chapter 10, and then we'll be moving over to another familiar passage a little bit later on, and we'll announce that when we get there. We sang this song this morning, He's a Good, Good Father. And as I was preparing my message all week, and I'm waiting on the Lord, I kept thinking, you know that song, He's a Good, Good Father? We could change one word in it, and it would have a wonderful meaning as well. And we could say, He's a good, good shepherd. And He is, isn't He? And I want to talk about the Lord, my shepherd. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, says, I assure you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them all his own out, when he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize his voice. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired man and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I am laying down my life so I may take it up again. Lord, we do thank you this morning that you are indeed the good shepherd. You're the one who loves us and gave your whole life to redeem us from the bondage of sin and darkness, to free us, to cause us to walk in light and have victory. Lord, I pray this morning, let your Holy Spirit open our understanding to the enormous love that you have for each individual on the face of the earth and upon each one of us here. Lord, I pray you will give us hearts willing to receive your word and your truth, to let your word, your truth, have perfect control of our hearts and our lives, the activities of our day, that you may be exalted and glorified. Father, let your love become so real to us that the only thing we can do is fall before you and surrender all that we are, all that we have, and give all that you put in our hands to the work of reaching souls for your kingdom. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're living in a day and an age when there's great confusion, great division, strife on every level of life. We're living in a time when values that have been established since before the days of Christ walked this earth are being not only questioned, but overthrown and replaced with morals and values and regulations that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God. There's so much taking place in this world, changing, that those of us who have lived here for a few years begin to wonder, what planet are we on? What's happening in this world? How is it that we take the precious truths of God's love and God's word that are designed to meet fallen human man and give to us the gift of eternal life, transform us from living in bondage to darkness and sin and the destruction of the enemy to walking in the power and the light and the victory and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? These things are touching every one of us. And the sad part of it is that often in the Church of Jesus Christ around the world, Christians who have walked with the Lord are beginning to question the validity of God's word. And they're surrendering to the philosophies of the present age because the philosophies of the present age are more pleasing to the flesh. And they're not willing to stand in the light of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done for us. So this morning I want us to focus on the person of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And just take a good look at him and what he is and what he is doing for those who will trust him and walk in him. And that a sight of Jesus will strengthen our hearts and our spirits so that we will not only stand in this day and this hour, but that we will advance in the power of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is in the world, but more than that, who Jesus Christ is in me and in you. That's where our strength and our power is. In this passage that we look at this morning, Jesus said, "I am the official door into heaven." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said, "No man comes unto the Father but by me." The book of Acts, it declares, "There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved other than the name of Jesus." And he starts off this passage and he tells us that he is the one who is the enters in through the door of the sheepfold and opens up the way for the sheep to come in to the presence of God, into the fellowship of God through the redeeming grace that Jesus offered on the cross. And he is the one by which we go out of the safety of the fold into the world to live a life of victory and triumph that is a testimony of the grace and goodness of Jesus Christ within us. He said there is a false door. There is one who says he will lead you into life, into joy, into pleasure, into contentment, and into condemnation. And his name is Satan. And Satan has many followers that take his name, take his ways. So Jesus is telling us there's a good shepherd and there's a false shepherd. There is a shepherd of life and there is a shepherd of death. And Jesus went to the cross to open up the way for us into the kingdom of God. And Satan, in his stubborn rebellion, found himself cast out of heaven and is striving to get a hold of the soul of every individual he can and lead them into the kingdom of death and destruction and eternal torment. And you and I are given the choice which one we're going to follow, who we will honor, who we will serve, who we will give our lives to. And so Jesus tells us that at the gate of my heart and your heart, there is a guard who recognizes Jesus the Christ and who will declare Jesus Christ the truth to you and I if we will open our hearts. And there is a guard who will recognize Satan and all of his disciples who will also try to enter into our heart. And he will tell us who to open our heart to and who to close our heart to. And that guard is God's blessed Holy Spirit. It's in the heart of every man and every woman, whether they're in church or not in church, whether they've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ or not. The guard of heaven is at the door of every heart to make us aware of truth and darkness. That's what the scriptures declare. And so that there's no place to ask the question, well, it's not fair. What's going to happen to those who have never heard the gospel? God has established a plan, a purpose, a way, and he is working throughout the entire world so that we all know the difference between right and wrong from our earliest days forward, and we choose. See these precious little children here. It's good to have little children. Can I ask them a personal question on mom and dad? Do they ever try to steal a cookie or something sweet? How many have done that? When you're little rascals, how many knew you're doing wrong when you did it? Yeah, we still do, don't we? You see how simple it is? We all know when we've done something wrong. Who did it, sissy? Brother, what are we doing? We're shifting the blame. That's because God has put that guard in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is there whether we recognize him and honor him or not. He's there from our youth on to guide us into all truth and all light, to keep us from the dark place, to lead us into victory forever and ever. The guard recognizes the voice of Jesus and opens the door. Says, you can go into the flock. Closes the door to Satan. But they both call out. I love this passage. It says Jesus goes in and he calls his sheep by name and he leads them out. And he goes before them. That's something I wish I had a lot of hours this morning to just focus on. Jesus knows you. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. And he loves you and I with a love that is so great we will never be able to plummet the depths of the majesty of the love of God for us individually. And the wonderful thing is, he calls us by name. But the other side of it is, he tells us in this passage that his sheep know his voice and they follow him. If there's any other voice that calls, they don't follow after. You know, that speaks a lot about the relationship of the believer with the Lord Jesus Christ on a day-to-day basis. It speaks a lot about the intimacy of the Christian walk that is developed in the course of our life. That as we walk along, we begin to recognize the name of Jesus, the voice of Jesus, the presence of Jesus. And it's so sweet that our heart begins to long more and more. Oh, I want to be in his presence. I want to fellowship with him. I want to commune with him because he's always pouring his life into me. He's always building me up. He's always forgiving me my transgressions. He's always burying every sin, every transgression, and filling me with his love, overflowing me with his love. And I want to be with him. But if we don't have relationship in an intimate basis that is going along with Jesus day by day, if we just have an occasional experience of sitting in the house of the Lord, or an occasional time when we take the word and we sit down to read the word and to pray and just fellowship with God a little bit, there's a time that we don't recognize his voice. You've heard of those people who do impressions with their voices, know how to just master, imitate someone else. They all learn that from Satan. Satan is the master impressionist. He tries to copy Jesus in every way. He'll take the precious truths of the Word of God and start off with what sounds like a truth, but he's always got a little twist to it. And that twist will turn us away from following Jesus, take us down some dark road, some dark alley, some place we don't ever want to be. And if we don't know the voice of Jesus very clearly, we can fall for the impressionist's voice. And he'll lead us astray. He'll lead us down a dark road. How many have been down that dark road? Did you enjoy it? Now that's why you're here this morning. You found that there's a way of truth, a way of light, and you want to get out of that dark road. You want to get away from all of the residue of that dark experience, and you want to get into the flow of Jesus Christ and his love and his mercy. And I love this passage. It says, as Jesus calls us, he gently leads his sheep. That's such a precious truth. And I read that passage, started meditating on it. I thought of all of the good John Wayne movies I've watched over the years. Anybody else watch any of those things? The Cattle Drive. You know, I just want to make that comparison. You know how those cowboys are on their horses. They've got their guns. Pow, pow, pow. They're yelling. Come on, roll them out. Move them on. Getting those cows stirred up, moving them. You see, a cattle drive. Just how about those? That title, drive. I'm going to get you there whether you want to go there or not. Jesus gently leads. That's such a precious thought. Jesus keeps calling. He keeps whispering. He keeps saying, come to me. And he sees us, you know, like on those cattle drives, once in a while the sheep will get into the wrong valley. They want to go the wrong direction. They'll try to scatter. And we do that because that's our nature as humans. But Jesus keeps saying, come unto me. Come, you that are weary, you that are heavy laden, you that are just worn out and depressed, you that are discouraged, you that feel like you just can't make it another step, come to me. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to help you. And then Jesus not only gently leads us, but he talks about the fact that, again, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And he says there's that mutual relationship. And then he says, the good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. Think of the hardships and the trials that come your way in life. Isn't it amazing? We start off young with full of dreams. Everything's going to be wonderful. We're like the little kid that says, oh, I can't wait to grow up and get my driver's license and I've got my freedom and I can go where I want to go. And then they get their driver's license, they get their freedom, and then they get a speeding ticket. Or they get in a fender bender or worse. And then they've got problems they've got to work through. And life just seems to be that way. Whatever you dream of when you get there, it's got another twist to it that you didn't expect. How many have found that life has a lot of twists and turns in the road you didn't expect? What do you do? Well, we recognize that we don't have the strength to get through. And Jesus says, I've come to you to find you in that place. And whatever your need is, I pour out of my life to bring you healing and restoration and fullness to the full extent of going to the cross of Calvary in your place, paying a debt that you can never pay. I laid down my life for my sheep because I love them and I want them to have all of the riches of God in heaven and on earth in their journey through life to just find the strength and grace that God pours out. Jesus said, I lay down my life, but that false shepherd that is calling you, where's he in your time of need? When you've listened to his voice and he's led you down that dark alley and you've been attacked and you've been battered and you've been bruised and you've been taken to the end of your strength and your endurance, where is that shepherd to help you in your hour of need? He's nowhere. He's moved on. He's left you to wallow in the pain and sorrow, the consequences of your actions. But the one who lays down his life still comes to you and says, I know that you've wandered. I know that you've abused the love that I've given you, but my love for you has not diminished one bit. My plan for your well-being is not tarnished in one bit. I may have to make some adjustments along the way to accommodate the consequences of your failures and your wandering, but I love you, and the kingdom of heaven is yours forever if you'll just follow me and let me be your shepherd, your Lord, your master. The relationship between the sheep and the shepherd is bound up in love. Just like Paul and Joanna are bound up in love. Hallelujah. Some of us who have been married many, many years are bound up in love, aren't we, Dave? So it is in Christ Jesus. Our relationship is bound up in mutual love. We know he loves us with a love that cannot be comprehended. The question is, do we give him all the love that is within us as a big thank you for loving me, the wayward sinner? King David also had some thoughts on the Good Shepherd. I'm going to look at them a little bit in Psalm chapter 23. How many have ever read that psalm? Been encouraged? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live forever and ever. Many times on a Sunday afternoon, Jan and I will spend time viewing Brooklyn Tabernacle. And a few weeks ago, or months ago now, I guess, they had two men from Texas. Their names are Shane and Shane. And they have a beautiful song they've written, Surely Goodness, Surely Mercy. I've asked Andrew to play it. Video of that song. And as they sing along with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir and worship the Lord, surely goodness, surely mercy. Praise the name of God.
for his great name. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy name. You prepare a table right before me in the presence of mine enemies. Though the arrow flies and the terror of night is at my door, I'll trust you.
That's the promise of the Good Shepherd. Sung so beautifully, so powerfully. We talked about the Good Shepherd. There are 14 points I want to take out of Psalm 23, and I'm going to try to just go through them very quickly. I'm not going to dwell more than 10 minutes on any one of them. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah, Yahweh, is my shepherd. He's your shepherd. It's intimate. It's personal. Every one of us can claim that as an exclusive personal right in Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. I'll have no want. I'll lack nothing. He's a good shepherd. He knows what I need before I need it. And he's working to provide it. Everything. Spiritual. Emotional. Physical. Mental, sociological, however you want to break it down. God knows it's a need. And he is providing, he is offering all that we need for this life and the life to come. Because he's a generous God. He says, I can lay down in green pastures. That speaks of a good shepherd keeps an adequate supply of food. There's no fear of tomorrow because every day the shepherd is going to take the sheep to a pasture that has abundance of grass, which is the source of their nurturing, of their whole system. And I love the passage where it says, green pastures. Because if you leave sheep in the same pasture every day, day after day, after a period of time, they will eat not only every blade of grass, but they'll get down and they'll get the very roots and kill the whole thing off. The good shepherd says, I know what you need. I'm going to take you to this pasture today, that one tomorrow, this one the next day, and on and on and on. We're going to go a big circle. And we're going to come back around. By the time we get back around, the first pasture is going to be green again. He doesn't get bogged down. Doesn't stay at one place. That's why God is calling you and I to live in the Word every day. to take the whole counsel of God's word into our lives, because wherever we go, it's green pastures for us if we keep moving. Don't get locked in on your favorite doctrine, your favorite story. Keep it all. And it keeps everything fresh and green and brings nurture, brings us to quiet waters. Sheep can't drink out of a rushing stream. It scares them. So the shepherd has to provide a place where the water can be stored up, where it can be held quiet. Oh, I want to say something to you this morning. I love to be in that kind of worship service and hear that, but I also love to be in my little room with the door closed, the scripture on my lap, no sound, just the voice of Jesus coming to me. Because it's the still place, the quiet place. Remember the story of Elijah right after he had killed the false prophets and torn down all and overthrown all the establishment of Ahab and Jezebel, until she said, I'm going to kill you, and he took off running. And all alone up on the mountain, there was an earthquake, not a word from the Lord. There was a mighty wind, not a sound from the Lord. There was a big fire, no revelation from God. And then there was a still small voice. Do you know that still small voice? Are you acquainted with just sitting in the presence of Jesus, letting the word just come alive in your heart and your soul? Drink from the still waters, the quiet place, in his word. It's like the Holy Spirit just brings everything alive. He restores my soul. Our soul is our heart, our mind, and our emotions. We're living in a day and an age where it is so easy to get burned out, to expend so much of ourselves trying to keep up on what can literally be called the treadmill of life, running harder and harder in the same place until we get depressed, we get overwhelmed, we move into a position of hopelessness. And Jesus knows that we need to be refreshed in every aspect of our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. We need seasons of refreshing, and Jesus alone can give us new life and lasting encouragement. Don't have the time to tell the whole story this morning, but in the year 2004, after we had been in Seattle for just about 10 years, working at a parish church ministry, holding Bible studies in the office buildings, apartment buildings in the early morning till into the evening, with Jan and I, between the two of us, conducting 11 Bible studies a week. There are a lot of things that went on in that season of time. I lost 4 of my brothers in that period of time, 2 of them just in within 5 months of each other. We went through a personal family crisis with our son and his family. We had a young man that came alongside that was going to help us in ministry, and he was exposed to have been a pedophile. I had physical problems that had me on disability for 6 months, where I could hardly walk a block. Just a lot of things. We tried to start a church. And in May of 2004, we reached the conclusion, it's not going to go. We had to close the church. And I was in such a state of discouragement and despair. And one day, Jan just graciously spoke to me, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit had told her. She had been watching me, living with me and enduring me for many months. And she says, you know, I think you need a break from ministry. Why don't you look into getting a job with the school district? And then she said, why don't you go to the district office and talk to the leadership there. I was so burnt out. I was so depressed. I would sit in my office, look out the window for hours, not able to do one single thing that was productive, just trying to figure out, where do I go today? What do I do tomorrow? By the grace of the Lord, I got connected with some good Christian counselors. And in that process, they gave me a little picture. Where is that? I don't know if we have it here. The picture of Jesus with the sheep, only what with the flock of sheep around him. It's a little different than that one, but there was one little lamb around his neck, one little lamb in his arm. There was the black sheep in the group. And then there were sheep that kind of just went back into almost non-existent. My counselor said, out of this flock of sheep with Jesus, which one are you? And I had to say, I'm this one back here, almost so far away. It's not out of the fold. He's still there, but he's not very close to Jesus. He said, take that picture, look at it periodically, and ask yourself, where are you? They gave me some good Christian books, good reading, books that opened up, spent time talking about God's love, God's mercy. And over a period of time, I keep looking at that little picture until one day I could say with confidence in my heart, I'm no longer that one way back here on the very fringe of the flock. I'm that one that's tucked into the Master's arms. Felt a closeness to Jesus. Felt a restoring. Took time. But God is the one who restores if we will sit and be still. He'll lift us out of the darkness, the despair. He'll give us a vision, a hope, a future, a purpose. He restores our soul. He gives us safe passage through fearful places because Jesus walks with us. And as he walks with us, he uses his rod. We sang that song. God is fighting for us. You know, it doesn't hurt to get an image of God's holy angels with their swords standing round about you, fighting the demonic spirits that come against you. It doesn't hurt to get a good picture of the good shepherd with a good healthy rod going after the lion and the bear and clonking them over the head. God is fighting for us. We're in a warfare. We're in a battle. But as he walks, he not only has that rod that goes against the enemy, he has a staff. And when we get off the trail, we get into a difficult place, he uses that little crook in the staff to pick us up, get us back on the trail, and to whisper our name and say, come on, keep walking with me. Takes us through the dark valleys, as I just shared with you. He brings us out. He is our guide and he is our deliverer. And he gives us great comfort in times of trial. I said it before, what would I do without Jesus? How would we make it without Jesus when we're going through the storms, the trials, the hardships of life? Says he sets a table of blessing before us with our enemy standing all around. Want another good image? What's your favorite food? All the trimmings. And you're sitting at that table with all of the goodies on it, eating away, enjoying the fellowship with Jesus. And all of the enemies of hell are held at bay, standing back, looking on, and in jealousy saying, how can Jesus be so kind to that person? That's you at the table with Jesus. He's got a banquet for you. Because he loves you. He wants to lift you up. He anoints my head with oil. There are so many wonderful pictures in that. He anoints my head with oil. In the Old Testament, the anointing oil was used to anoint priests into the service of the Lord. If you read the story of Aaron, they didn't use a little bit. They poured a whole jug of oil over his head. It ran down over his head, over his beard, down over his clothes. He was anointed with oil that represents the Holy Spirit of the living God. They did the same thing for those that were assigned to be priests, saying as God is calling us and assigning us a task, he gives us an anointing for the task that is before us. Did you know God is anointing you? There's another image I want to look at in the anointing of the oil. The sheep would often going through the wilderness, the challenges that were in the environment around them would get all scratched up with thorns and whatnot. And the shepherd would go around at night looking for sheep that had stuck their heads into areas where they shouldn't be and came out with some scratches. And he would take the oil to anoint them. As believers in Christ Jesus, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God upon our heads, our minds. Many of us have done sins that we're ashamed to even think about, let alone talk about. And the enemy loves to come and get after us and hold up our failures before us and say, see what a sinner you are. What a wretch you are. How dare you think that you can be a child of God. There are many things that we could say along this line, but I just want you to say to you, when Satan comes to you with this dark past that you're trying to get beyond, says, look at how sinful you were, you can say, yes, you're right, Satan, that was me. But that person is dead. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. That sin that I committed is under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is buried. It is never to be remembered against me again by God the Father. It's under the blood. It's gone. And today I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Holy Spirit of God is within me. And the life that I am living today, I am living by the power of Jesus Christ in me. That is history. It's gone. It's buried. And rather than think on that, I'm going to think on the promises. Paul, writing to the Philippians, said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. And the Bible says, set your affections on those things that are above. So when the enemy comes, you can say, oh, thank you, Satan, for stirring me up. Right now, I'm going to get my heart, my mind focused on Jesus Christ, his redeeming grace. And I'm just going to spend the next 5 minutes saying, thank you, Jesus, that you've washed me, you've cleansed me, you've made me your child. My sins are gone, and his Holy Spirit is within me. Oh, let him anoint your head with oil. Let the Holy Spirit wash away those memories, that controlling power, and know the resurrection life that Jesus is pouring into us. It says, my cup runs over. Goodness and grace is more than adequate for the test I am faced with. Hallelujah. You got a test? We all have tests. Some of them are beyond our endurance. Most of them are challenging, but there are tests that are beyond our endurance. But in Christ Jesus, his grace is more than adequate. It's abundant, and it's fresh for every day. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's that song. Did you get comfort out of that song? Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. That's the truth of God's word. It's how God deals with us. God does not deal with us in shaming us. He does not deal with us in making us feel unworthy. He deals with us in love, saying, "You are so precious, so valuable to me. I gave my son Jesus Christ to take your place. I've taken my Holy Spirit and I've poured it into you because you are mine and I want you to know me. I want you to be filled with me. I want you to be overflowing with my goodness. So I'm giving you everything I have. Surely goodness, surely mercy, all the days of my life." Hallelujah. And then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heaven's awaiting. Heaven's just one breath away. One trumpet sound away. Heaven's coming. Are you ready? The Lord, Jehovah God, is a good, good shepherd. And he's my shepherd. He's my loving God, my loving Savior, my loving Redeemer. God is so good, so merciful. So when we consider all that the shepherd is, all that he has done, there's only one response. Jesus, you love me so much. I just want to love you more. Lord, you know I don't have the capacity to love you more. But you'll give me that capacity. And I'm coming to you today saying, Jesus, just give me capacity to love you more. Give me capacity to fight for you with more energy, more strength, more vigor than I ever imagined. Jesus, give me a boldness I've never had because you flooded me with so much. I just want to say thank you with every ounce of strength that is in me the rest of my days. Heavenly Father, I thank you. You are the good, good shepherd. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what he's done on the cross. Thank you for being the shepherd of our lives today, leading us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Holy Spirit, just pour your loving grace down upon us. Lord, you see each one of us here. You know the battles that we fight, the difficulties, the struggles that we're enduring. And I thank you that you are more than enough to come alongside of us, to strengthen us, to pour your life, your spirit, your grace, your truth into us. Thank you, Father, that you are the shepherd who watches over weak, helpless sheep. You know we don't have the ability nor the strength in our own selves to fight against the enemy. So you fight for us. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, this morning to help every individual here that is in a struggle just to come to you and say, Jesus, I want to be that little sheep in your arm. I want you to carry me while you fight the battle for me. And I want to love you as you hold me near to your heart. I want my heart near to you. I want to be filled up with love for you. Like I've never known, like I've never experienced, like I've never been able to conceive possible. Lord, fill me with your love. Fill each one with your love. Fill with your grace and your mercy. Just let your Holy Spirit flood our hearts and our souls. Give courage and boldness, I pray, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Just want us to keep a few moments, be focused on the Lord. I know God's touched hearts this morning. during the sharing of his word. And I just want you this morning right now here where you're seated to lay hold of that promise in a personal way. If you want to turn and kneel at the chair where you're seated, if you want to come and kneel around the areas of the perimeter of the sanctuary here and just say, Lord, I receive your love. Don't work for it. Don't strive. Don't make promises of what you're going to do. Just come to the shepherd and say, Shepherd, you know what I need. Pour into me all of your grace, all of your strength that I need to appropriate your truth, your grace, your love, your anointing, and live the life of victory that is mine because of your death and resurrection in my place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.